Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I'm your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
I feel like this is our 100th episode, too, even though that's not true.
Yeah, let's see. It's probably like our 56th or something like that. We're in the mid-50s.
Not as monumental.
Yeah, not quite. You know, we didn't even make a big deal about our 50th episode, so we're not quite there yet. But it will be a celebration when we reach 100 episodes. But welcome back to Lucha Lowdown. We are celebrating Lucha Underground's 100 episodes. Tonight's episode titled Aptly Cien, which is, of course, 100 in Spanish. Jeff, 100 episodes of Lucha Underground. I mean, it's a big milestone for them. And I shared with you on that Facebook the great promo video that they put out of Dario Cueto celebrating 100 episodes. What did you think about that?
I thought that promo was a perfect example of why we love Lucha Underground so much. Dario Cueto is just such a phenomenal character, and I like the pains they take to really paint an image of who he is. I love the hot tub that he was in, just what his villa looked like,
yeah,
and just his tone as he was speaking to us. It was funny looking at the top 10 things that he mentioned. How many of those have we celebrated on this podcast? I mean, it's
all
definitely what we think is great, too. Yeah, there wasn't a single moment that we didn't make a big deal of at least once. Some of those we continue to reference.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't necessarily agree with maybe the order of some of the things on his list, but
fair enough. Yeah, but I think all of those are very important. I mean, there's probably a couple that I would change, but at the same time, it's hard to just name 10 things that are great about Lucha Underground.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they do videos like that and that they are taking the time to celebrate 100 episodes of Lucha Underground. It's very cool. Dario being in character on that thing. And yeah, it was a great list and great to relive some of the favorite memories of Lucha Underground. So if you didn't see it, it is on Facebook. But it goes back to like what they did for the 5-0 street fight with Joey Ryan and Cortez, you know, just putting out that photo of them when they were cadets. It's just great, great pageantry. You know, and attention to detail in Lucha Underground, which I really, really appreciate.
As wrestling fans, that's what we love.
Yeah, absolutely. Overall, what did you think of CN 100 episode of Lucha Underground?
Now, here's kind of the converse side of that. I liked the episode. I thought it was a very solid episode, but it didn't seem grand to me. You know, it was a good episode. It was a great lineup. They had a lot of their top talent. But I could have used a bit more of a celebration during the show.
Yeah, I get you there. It's kind of almost akin to what they did with the Cueto Cup when we finally crowned Prince Puma. At the start, it felt like they were going to make a really big deal about it. I mean, everybody was decked out in the special shirts and the mugs celebrating 100 episodes of Lucha Underground. But it is part of the deal. It's that they still have to advance the greater narrative and go forward with that. So a bit of a catch-22 there. But I do think, yeah, they could have maybe had like a celebration either at the beginning or in the middle of the episode kind of deal. But they had...
I feel like maybe you changed the setup a little bit. You know what I mean? As far as maybe what the ring looks like just for that night.
Maybe some banners hung up or something.
And then I feel like Dario should have been like rocking a tux or something. Like everybody should have been like, I don't know, extra dressed up or something.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you on that. I think that would have been a nice touch for that beyond just like the 100th episode shirts and mugs and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm with you on that because it was a good episode, but it was an episode. It was not like a 100th episode extravaganza kind of deal, and I think that's just based on the timing of when 100 is coming out. This is what they had to get done to advance storylines as we head towards Ultima Lucha Tres. But we did start out with a Worldwide Underground vignette in the back featuring Ricky Mandel and PJ and Jack Evans and Taya were all sort of busting Ricky's balls about how, you know, Johnny's not going to like this. And of course, with that, you know, on cue, Johnny pops up, not going to like what? And
that is so perfect.
Yeah. And he seems so like good natured about it, too. Like his mood was actually like genuinely good.
Yeah, his mood was good, but there was like a little trepidation in his voice. I thought it was like the perfect delivery of that line.
Yes.
Which is funny.
I completely agree. And what it was is that Ricky Mandel had legally changed his name to Ricky Mundo in order to sort of pay tribute to Johnny Mundo. And how was Johnny's reaction?
Not good.
Less
but
than
at the
stoked.
Same time, I can't blame him.
Yeah, no, he's the only Mundo.
And I can't blame Ricky for going for it.
And Johnny's like, I'm the only Mundo in Worldwide Underground, which then Ricky then makes leap. Does that mean I'm officially in Worldwide Underground? and gives and him a big hug.
Does the quick hug. No time for Johnny to disagree.
To rebuff. And then
I thought that was perfect.
Yeah, man. Give an intern an inch, though. They take a mile.
That's what you know.
Got to keep them under wraps, you know.
Hey, listen, we've all been interns. I know what it's like.
I love that they show the ID. And the only thing I kept thinking about, I was like, so Ricky Mandel is like the McLovin of Worldwide Underground.
Dude, thank you. All right. I loved this trailer. And I was thinking, this vignette, I would have loved to have just... Like, this is so stupid. I would watch a little cartoon about, like, Lucha Underground High School.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could just see the scene of all of them by their lockers talking about
They were the popular
this.
Kids.
Yeah, and Ricky most certainly is a freshman who's hanging out with these upperclassmen. And I could just see Jack and PJ looking at the driver's license and saying, it just says Mundo.
It's one name? What are you, Seal? Yeah,
I am Mundo.
Yeah, I am Mundo.
Yeah. And Johnny coming in wearing his Letterman's jacket.
Oh, for sure. Sure. I agree with you. I thought this was a delightful vignette and getting Worldwide Underground back on track and just this sort of shake my head deal with Mandel. But yeah, I kept thinking about Superbad. But it was a cool way to start us off. It was a genuine laughs in that vignette. And it also got me thinking about when is that documentary that Ty is filming gonna debut? You know, because she's been getting a lot of footage.
Pre-order.
Absolutely. No. Definitely. So that where we start, though, in the ring at Lucha Underground is with the Atomicos match that they promoted last episode. So it is Johnny Mundo, Taya, PJ Black, and Ricky Mundo, or so it would appear, versus Prince Puma, Cage, Sexy Star, and Phoenix. So that's who turned out to be Puma's team, which he did not get to name. So it is a good group of people that Puma got to be on his team, no?
It's a great team. It just seems sort of random. Like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, Sexy Star definitely has like a dog in that fight. She despises the Worldwide Underground. And I was thinking about it, you know, Cage and Johnny Mundo, the two of them have never really seen eye to eye, and they had a good brief rivalry in season two. And I mean, you know, Phoenix has had some bad blood with them, and Phoenix and Ray, I mean, excuse me, and Puma have kind of joined forces in the past a couple times. But I don't, it was just kind of weird. You know?
Yeah.
But then Puma doesn't really have friends anymore.
So it was going to be kind of that way no matter what
they
did.
No matter what. I don't know who he could have gotten other than them. I was excited just to see Cage in a tag match.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cage was standing there
rocking
with
the gauntlet
on. Yeah. For,
staring at it uncomfortably.
Yes. But so before we get the start of the match, Ricky Mandel announces that he's actually Ricky Mundo. And Johnny was not having it. You didn't clear it with me, bro. And so to punish you, you're going to have to sit out this match. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, tough love, man. He screwed up. Them's the breaks. You lose your privileges. You got to sit this one out. And he replaces him with Marty the Moth Martinez. So he is going to be fighting alongside Worldwide Underground, and
which also was a good fit because of his past rivalry with Sexy Star and his current rivalry with Phoenix.
Yes, I agree, and I love when Worldwide Underground at one point in this match were all celebrating, and then Marty was just running around behind them doing a moth dance.
Because he tried to get in on it, and they pushed him away, and then he just started doing the moth dance around them.
So good.
Because you're not really on the team, Marty.
Yeah, no, you're a means to an end.
Well, Lucha Underground High School, the show that I'm promoting on El Rey, he would be a strange kid who's kind of like eating ants and stuff on his own. Sits at a table by himself, maybe with his sister. That's it.
Yeah, definitely.
Comes from a wealthy family, though.
What did you think about the match overall?
I liked parts of it a lot. I would have liked to have seen more PJ Black versus Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I think they would have paired well together. I loved Puma wrecking shop, man.
Yeah.
When he was always where he was kind of like using the opponents against each other because he was always fighting like two at a time. That I thought was outstanding. And then as far as Cage goes, and I know you and I have both been keeping an eye on him because the longer he wears the gauntlet, you know, I mean, he's downloading this power, right? You know, this power should be feeding into his body. So he should be becoming more and more unstoppable. He had to be convinced to take the gauntlet off. He did it reluctantly, so at least he was able to participate in the match. It didn't get weird. I would have liked to have seen him really eviscerate somebody. And that's why I think Ricky would have been perfect to have in this match.
Yeah.
Because he would have been the excellent guy for Johnny, for Cage to just destroy.
Well, what I like about how they did it in this sense is that he reluctantly takes the gauntlet off, and then he's kind of lost without it. That it's become such a crutch for him is that he wasn't sort of the same guy without it. So he still is under its thrall. So he seemed almost just depowered without it now.
That's a fair point. I just feel like the gauntlet, though, is supposed to be a temporary item. You know what I mean? Like that the energy that's being harnessed from it is, you know, all of a sudden filling up Cage, and like the Cage that we're even talking to isn't even completely Cage anymore.
Yeah.
That's the way I interpret it. And eventually that gauntlet is going to be useless. Or, I mean, that's at least how I predict it to go. I don't know if that's the case, but, the other thing with Cage, well, when they all started beating on him, I was like, I'll bet he kind of shrugs it off, which is sort of what happened.
Yeah.
And I did like that. And then I thought, when Jeremiah Crane shows up, this guy just, he does not give a shit about how powerful his opponents are, because he picks fights with the biggest guys in the temple.
So,
and also, I just feel like Crane is like, how many more awesome storylines can I attach myself to until I am the most beloved character on the Lucha Lowdown?
Well, okay. So,
I mean, it's linked with Katrina and Mil Muertes, so I understand his connection to it. But it's just like, damn, dude, Crane, you're picking all the right fights as far as I'm concerned. I loved it.
So Mundo would win the match with End of the World, but you mentioned Jeremiah Crane, who showed up because Cage had taken the gauntlet off, shows up, again, no F's given, steals the gauntlet. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, this guy is becoming more and more the James Kincaid of Lucha Underground than I could have even imagined, because it's like, okay, so Katrina clearly wants this gauntlet. They didn't get it. I'm going to go get that gauntlet for Katrina, and everything's going to be copacetic. It reminded me of I enjoyed Britney Spears when she was on the TRL days and everything like that. The Oops, I Did It Again music video, where it's like, wait, I thought the old lady dropped it in the ocean in the end. And the guy's like, well, baby, I went down and got it for you. It's just like, that's Jeremiah Crane right now. He is, he's like a psychopathic Jorah Mormont in the Friend Zone kind of deal, I feel like. You know, just much more deadly and dangerous because he's completely just unhinged. But I love that he went out there just like, well, I'll go get that gauntlet, and can't fail. So
I'm so glad that you said Jorah Mormont, because that's who I was thinking of later. Because then I was thinking that I guess that makes Mil Muertes like Dario Naharis.
Or Drogo.
As the two of them going against Cage.
Yeah, that too, for sure.
It's like that temple mission, the infiltrating the city mission.
Yeah. So we then go from there to Crane bringing Katrina the gauntlet, but first he wants a kiss.
Like a good lapdog.
Yes, exactly, but he wants to be paid for it with a kiss, and I mean, who can blame him? But then there's Mil attacking him. Katrina gets...
Or immediately.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's my girl, you ass. Crane's like, back to square one. Didn't get... But I love the dynamic of this. So Cage attacks him. Katrina gets the gauntlet.
No, Mil Muertes attacks him.
Mil Muertes attacks him. Katrina gets the gauntlet. Cage arrives and gets Katrina by the throat, which, I mean... All right. But Cage is talking such a big muscle head game. It's so powerful, you can't disappear. And then...
Well, she couldn't, though. It's interesting that he's starting to at least recognize the powers of the gauntlet.
Yeah.
I remember when he thought it was a big, stupid thing. He didn't even want to take it with him.
Yep. How I remember when he was happy with the radish. How times have changed with Cage. She did drop it and disappeared. But then... Dario, no takebacks, man. He sneaks in and takes the gauntlet, dude. That was Cage won that, dude. That was a unique opportunity.
Well, we know what happens with unique opportunities. And with Dario, he is in full panic mode as far as how creepy that organization is.
Yes.
And what's going on with the Aztec gods. He's he's decided to backtrack a little bit.
What did you think about that vignette? Deal.
I thought it was great, and I liked Cage, Mil Muertes, and Jeremiah Crane all doing like this three-way fight with each other. I liked when Cage like smashed the two of them against one another. So maybe that's going to turn into some sort of three-way match now?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. That maybe a handicap match or something with Cage wearing the gauntlet? I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't see Jeremiah and Mil Muertes working together exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it so interesting is that clearly Katrina has one goal. And honestly, like, you know, those two be damned. She needs to get that gauntlet to get what she wants, which trumps anything that she feels for either one of them. So she might force work together. Yeah, exactly. Snarling at your trust fund.
Reminds me of all relationships.
She's truly in love with me.
So on paper, it's a handicap match. But then obviously those two are going to be taking shots at each other.
Exactly.
As well. I think that would be a great match, though. I hope that's what it turns out to be. At least the three of them in the ring. How they want to, you know, cut it up is their own thing. But yeah, I'd like to see the three of them go at it.
Yeah,
and it gives Jeremiah Crane something to do in the finale. Because we were wondering about that, I thought.
Yeah.
When we found out that Mil Muertes and Cage were going to go at it. It's like, well, where does that leave Jeremiah Crane? Because he doesn't really have a storyline without Katrina and Mil Muertes.
Yeah. And you can slice it any different number of ways, you know, as far as how you want to do that. But I thought that vignette was awesome. Just a great start so far to this episode. And it kept getting really good because we had an Aztec medallion match between Pentagon Dark and Dragon Azteca Jr. I thought this was a really fun, quick match to earn a spot in the Gift of the Gods title match, Ultima Lucha Trace. Pentagon Dark picked up the victory here pretty decisively, but in a really good, fun match. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. I don't think Dragon Azteca loses anything.
No.
As far as momentum or anything goes in the match, because he had a great showing. Once again, it's one of those things where I kind of like how the different fighting styles complement one another, because it's not like Pentagon's not agile, but nobody's more agile than Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah.
But Pentagon's got a lot more raw power to him, you know, a lot of strength. And there were a few times where I felt like he was kind of having his way with Azteca and how he was throwing him around the ring. I thought the match ended appropriately. I prefer Pentagon getting the medallion and being a part of that Gift of the Gods match. And then, you know, what's funny is I actually thought that Pentagon had grown up a little bit. I was like, whoa, he's not going to break the arm. He's a man on a mission. But then he has that second thought and then goes back into the ring to break that arm again.
Oh.
And I'm always nervous now for anybody who's had their arm broken once, because you cannot join the double arm broken group. It is verboten with a guy like Arjenis in there.
I don't want
to be a part of that.
I threw that out there on Twitter. I said, is Azteca going to join the two bone break club? It's very exclusive. It's very exclusive group to be in. But yeah, I thought he was going to go for it. One thing I have to point out about this match, too, is that the crowd was on fire for this match with the ole, ole, lucha, lucha chants. Like they were going crazy for this match. I thought that was so awesome. They were really, really into it. And it just was such a great display of, you know, the atmosphere that the believers bring at the temple. I thought that was awesome.
Dude, I want to go see a match in the temple so badly, because the raw energy in there is just palpable. And that's through the screen, let alone what it's like when you're actually there.
Yeah, we need season 4 to happen for that to happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's coming. You know, there's been conflicting reports.
I feel there's an announcement on the way. I do.
Yeah. I hope so.
We'll see. Yeah. Like I said, you contact Ted Turner and you tell him he's got another shot.
God, no.
Man just throws money at things.
But after the match, so Pentagon did go for the arm break, but Matanza shows up and it sort of makes the save. But Dario, he then puts the brakes on Matanza from fighting with Pentagon and tells him to destroy Azteca instead to get Mysterio's goat, which brings Rey out. And he did kill Azteca pretty good.
He flung him around like a ragdoll, but Pentagon gave Cero Miedo.
Yeah, right in Dario's face. And
bumped into Matanza, a little shoulder bump. I love it.
Doesn't care. Get it, Pentagon. And I really hope...
Cero fucks.
I hope Pentagon wins that Gift of the Gods match. He needs to get some Aztec gold around his waist.
I'm trying to think who's in it. Drago, the entire Rabbit Tribe.
Yeah, who else?
And
wasn't that 5-0 Street Fight for Medallion and then Son of Havoc
well? Yes, you're right. Cortez and Son of Havoc.
Yeah, so they'll be in there. But yeah, I think Pentagon stands a good chance in that field.
I would say Pentagon has the best shot of everybody in there.
Yeah, I think he should be the favorite in that. But that led directly into the main event, which is Rey Mysterio.
Paul London's my dark horse.
Paul Lund. Yeah, it's, you know, there you go. Not going to happen.
No, it's not, but it would be awesome.
Rey Mysterio versus the Monster Matanza Cueto is what we would finish off this episode of Lucha Underground with. What did you think about this match?
I thought this was a cool match. You know what I liked about it was the use of the chairs, especially towards the end. I liked the chair with the 619. I liked Matanza throwing the chair at Rey when he was midair. And I liked the chair being used after the match.
Yes.
When Rey was just getting massacred.
They're very good at innovating the chair offense in Lucha Underground.
It's very different than everywhere else.
Yeah. I, too, loved...
Remember that time when somebody almost, like, broke their back on all those
chairs?
That was
Jeremiah Crane when Mil Muertes did the backbreaker to it. God, that was brutal. Best match of the Cueto Cup. But, yeah, I loved Matanza throwing the chair at Rey Mysterio always midair.
It was good.
It was, and Rey did a really good job of then selling the knee injury, too, which, of course, we know he has a history with. I thought this was a really fun match as well, and I don't mind how it ended. I think, Dario's involvement in this match made sense, given the fact that he is now feuding so hard with Rey Mysterio.
Absolutely.
And Rey had a great showing. Matanza hit him with, the Wrath of the Gods. Rey had his foot on the rope, but Dario kept pushing it off. And that to me, I don't mind that finish because it's not so much of a BS finish, you know, if that makes sense. It's not like a low blow that leads to like a roll up or something like that. Or it's like, you know, Matanza hit him with his finisher and I didn't hate it. And I don't hate that Matanza went over Rey here. It's going to, you know, it's adding to the fire that is Rey and Dario's feud. So I thought it was good. And then Matanza destroyed Rey afterwards. So who knows what Rey's going to be doing at Ultima Lucha Trace, if anything, which is interesting. Yeah.
I was going to say, and I mean, you know how I feel about some of these finishes lately, but this is a crooked finish that I'm actually for as well. And it's because, it adds to the storyline. And I didn't think it was anything so grievous. And it doesn't make like Matanza look bad. That's my problem with all of the cheating finishes is I feel that it makes the heel, you know, not
looking competent.
So like, yeah, I feel like Johnny Mundo isn't as celebrated a champion as he should be because most of his wins are ill-gotten.
Yeah.
And it's not fair because he is a top talent.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is – they should not make a competent heel look ineffectual, like Johnny Mundo, mm-hmm. who is a top star, like a Matanza, who is this monster. They don't need the really cheap way to win because they are that good. You know,
exactly,
and they went a little overboard in Mundo with his reign as champion,
I get it because it fits his personality and his character so well.
They just need to give him more in match, then, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
so they can change the psychology of how they do stuff within the confines of the framework of the match. So then Matanza again just destroying him afterward. Who knows if we'll see him at Ultima Lucha Trace, but things are shaping up nicely. One thing that I think that was first announced during the match in the Atomicos match is that Taya and Sexy Star are going to face off at Ultima Lucha Trace in a last woman standing match or last luchador standing match, which will be interesting.
Well, I mean, that rivalry has been boiling for a while, so I think it makes sense. And they've really been upping it the past few weeks.
And one thing we missed out on during the Atomicos match was afterward Marty getting in Melissa's face and slapping the crap out of them and then Phoenix just murdering him with a super kick, dude. Marty was dead. And
I think Marty's head went flying.
Melissa once again dropping the ring announcer and being just like full-on like red-hot fire Melissa Santos on Marty the Moth. Next week, I believe it's going to be a tag match. Marty the Moth and Mariposa taking on Phoenix and Melissa Santos in her in-ring debut in Lucha Underground, which now that I reflect back on it, she teased a little bit at Paley Fest last September. So now we're finally actually coming to fruition. It's crazy. That was a whole year ago now that I talked to her about that. But looking forward to seeing that. You know, Melissa Santos' in-ring debut, I wonder how it's going to go for her. But I love that interaction with her and Marty.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
But that was it for this episode. The 100th episode of Lucha Underground is in the books, and now on to episode 101 and hopefully an announcement of season 4 of Lucha Underground. We're starting to get a little nervous, but, you know, our hopes remain high. And, yeah, just a quick breakdown once again as far as who holds the Aztec medallions. It is Paul London, Saltador, Mal Suerte of the Rabbit Tribe. Drago, Cortez Castro, who won in that 5-0, the 5-0 street fight, Pentagon Dark, and Son of Havoc. They all have Aztec medallions, and they are going to fight one another in the Ultima Lucha Trace Gift of the Gods title match. Got to go with Pentagon there.
Yeah, me too.
Going to bring it home. Finally get some Aztec gold around his waist. But that is going to do it for us this week at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.